something went on here and something went on there.
This time on TNT.
But I was part of a Guinness Book of World Records attempt.
We play the jams from 1901. Just kidding. 2001.
And we play a brand new game called Gord. It's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hello.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hello?
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but Jonah wasn't feeling 100%, so he asked me to take his place, at least for the start of the show.
Who are you?
This is Micah. Micah? I'm a family friend.
Micah, okay.
John... Yeah, I'm a family friend. Like, not blood relation, but I'm just kind of one of those people that's always around.
Do you just help him out a bit?
Hey, Jeremy, can I ask you something?
Yeah?
When you were laying down the drum tracks on Clumsy, what kind of toms did you use?
What kind of toms or what kind of drums?
Well, sorry, drum newbie here.
Yeah.
Did I ask it wrong? Oh my, I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay, Micah. You want to hear a jam from 2001, bud?
Yeah, what kind of drums was this played on, do you know?
I believe, I think this is a drum machine. You ready?
Yeah.
Micah? So what do you do around the house? Do you, like, help out in the with the horse and stuff?
Well, right now, Jonathan's kind of under the weather. So I said I wouldn't mind just talking to you about your drums and setup and sticks.
But are you a drummer?
What's that?
Do you play?
Jeremy?
Okay, I'm going to play this song here. You ready?
Yeah.
You like this jam, Micah?
Is this one's Come My Lady, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a big jam from 2001, bud.
It makes me feel frisky.
Like what?
It makes me feel frisky.
Did you know that, hey, Micah, I think half of this band is dead.
Jeremy?
Yeah, their biggest hit. It was better known as a Red Hot Chili Peppers song, but it's Butterfly.
Did you have to, like, pay for drumsticks, or they just, like, gave them to you because you're Jeremy Tigg? Or...
Yeah, they give them to me, Micah. I got boxes of them.
How often do you break a drumstick when you're playing the drums?
Well, when I'm playing a show, I might go through a set of sticks. Maybe break two.
Do you have, like, a favorite weight of stick? Or, like, how do you know the sticks that you like?
I just like what I like. You know what I mean?
No.
Well, that's what I do. I just like
Hey, Jeremy, what happens if you have drumsticks in your hand, but you miss the drum when you swing your hand?
Hey, Micah. Micah.
Yeah.
Can you go get Jonathan?
Yeah.
Go to the horse.
Hello.
The horse.
Hey, bot.
The horse needs you.
Oh, Micah, man, that guy's a piece of work.
Yeah, he's a beauty.
He's not. He's annoying.
No, he's around the house guy. He's the kind of guy that you have to go around and fix stuff after he did it.
I started talking like him. He was sort of born out of the Jimothy
Fatburger
voice girl. Because I was trying to imagine what she would sound like just in normal conversation. And somehow he became Micah.
Micah.
Hey, bud, you sound like you're a tiny bit under the weather.
I am a little bit. I got a stuffy nose from the cold. I believe my son John, gave it to me.
God darn it.
I had the worst Family Day in the history of Family Day.
Why?
Well, I was on the bus. I stay in the city on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
And I did again. I stayed at our bod's Gary's.
Gary Gugatami's place. Yeah.
Gary Gugatami. Gary LeBlanc / Gary Gugatami. Good times. Anyway, I went home, and on the I took the bus, and on the On the bus, I started getting a migraine. Headache.
Uh-oh.
So that was bad enough. But then I started, like, feeling nauseous on the bus. So I was starting to gauge, like, oh, no. I think I'm going to be sick.
And, oh, no.
And I was like, well, either I get off at the next stop and hopefully, you know, go somewhere private and puke. Or I'm going to puke on the bus, I think. So I get up and I'm like questioning standing whether I'm going to make it or in time. And then all of a sudden, you know how sometimes buses just kind of stop way before a stop?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I actually was like, okay, I'm going to puke. And I actually did the, like the fill your mouth and hold your hand over it styles.
No.
Yeah. And then, like, it's dripping around my fingers. And I'm like, I'm knocking on the on the window, and the driver wouldn't turn around. And I couldn't say anything. I'm like, with puke in my mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't do anything. And then someone, thankfully, in the front of the bus is like, let this guy off. He's going to vomit. He's going to vomit.
Excuse me, driver.
Yeah.
This gentleman's vomiting.
So they opened the door, and I spat it out, and I couldn't, like, I had to wait so long that I didn't throw up anymore, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't, it passed, but it was literally, like, caked in my face, all over my hands. I had to find, like, some shady area where there was a little bit of snow, so I could, like, wipe my hand, and then I went into
So you didn't stay on the bus, you still got off the bus.
I got off the bus, and I went into, like, a cafe, and like everybody thought I was like shot or something when I walked through it because I went right to the bathroom.
That is heinous.
It was so gross. Yeah, it was terrible. It was not.
You barfed the bus.
I puked.
Does a migraine usually come on that fast?
Yeah, and there is something like I think it was because the bus was really hot. You know that feeling of like nauseous and then hot and then the wets. I got the wets on the back of my throat.
Here's the thing. I actually dig when your body does its thing.
Like you like the idea of puking?
Well, I like the idea that something isn't right and your body has ways to make it right.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's cool. It means everything's working the way it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, alert, alert. We need to purge whatever is in here that shouldn't be in here.
For sure.
I kind of dig that.
But when you're in a position where you're like, I can't puke here.
The worst.
Yeah. Like, at least on a plane, you got a bag.
Have you ever had lowercase d in public?
Yeah. Yeah.
You've had the slops?
I had I don't know if I told you this before, but I was in a race when I was a kid, a Canada Day weekend, in a race, and I shit my pants in the race.
Oh, no!
Yeah. And I just kind of ran off the track towards the outhouse. Yeah, like ripping, like, diarrhea down the leg and then off the track. I was doing all right too.
Was it a sprint or it was like
it was
long
a sprint
haul
it was like
deal.
60 meter dash or something,
and you just kept going right to the Johnny
I
on the spot.
I did I went off I went I hung a left on the track.
I went right to the Pope John,
and it was one of those greasy like baseball park outhouse old school styles. Concrete. You know, like when you look in the bottom and you want to die and there's a billion flies, that style?
Yeah.
It was in Mansfield.
Like with a wooden seat?
Yeah. No, like a box, just a square hole or a circle.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, so, I did. That was my public Skwirtski.
Did you ever, how did you recover from that?
I don't really remember. I just remember it happening and running away quickly. And I don't really I never became like a joke or made a like the.
How old were you? Like 27?
Yeah, right. No, I was like 10 or 11 or something like that.
Oh, what a sin!
Oh yeah, you know how it
is. Have you ever? I know you've vomited behind a drum kit before. Have you ever? You know,
shitskis?
Lowercase d? Yeah.
I don't think so. That's actually surprising that I haven't.
Or urine.
Maybe because you're sitting. Well, no, I've had to pee.
Have you peed on the stage? Like in a bucket or something? Yogurt container?
I think so, yeah. I'm sure I've done that once or twice. Like wow. The old bottle underneath the snare drum no one can see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember Mike Myers telling a story years ago of going on family trips, and his dad would give them a pie plate. Like, they're going from Toronto to Montreal, and his dad would give them a pie plate to pee in.
No
And he
way.
Wouldn't stop so they could dump it out, so you'd have to hold the pie plate
evenly.
Come on, evenly.
What kind of joke is that?
I don't think it was a joke.
No, but that's just, like, an asshole dad move?
I guess so. An ADM.
It is.
Hey, I told you on the News Talk 1010 thing that for Valentine's Day / our anniversary, Carol got me a set of drums.
Yeah, that's right.
How wicked is that?
That's fantastic. Is it just like an old style kit or like a beginner style kit or a new?
Well,
yeah,
it's the brand is Westbury.
Oh, those are the classic starters.
Yeah. And you
those
know,
are the ones you always see in music class at the high schools.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's like brushed copper, and she found it locally.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my question to you. I have no professional drum aspirations, but yeah. I really like making all that noise.
Sure.
When I'm starting, should I just forget about my feet?
No, because you can play a simple pattern, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1 with your bass drum on the one, you know?
Yeah.
Like, ting, ting, bat, ting, ting. Like, if you could learn that with, you know, your right hand, having the right hand doing... you know, 4 and you hit your left hand on the snare. So like yep. 1, 2, 3 with the snare. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4 and hit the bass drum on the 1. Snare on the yep. 3. And the hi-hat's going all those, you know, all of those eighth notes.
Yeah.
And then you can, that's your simple beat. Just 1, 2, 3, 4. You should probably be able to play that.
I feel like I have that.
Yeah, so if you can do that, you can just play along with songs, like whatever AC/DC style, simple kind of rock stuff, or you can, you know, start playing along with, you know, yourself and add beats in and try to do 2 on your bass drum, like on the 1 and the 2, and mixing it up, all that fun stuff.
This is my favorite beat so far. Okay. Boom, ka, boom, ka, boom, boom, ka, boom, ka, boom, boom, ka. Boom, rockadoom, boom, ka.
That's a good one. Are you throwing in the bakadoons in there?
I'm throwing a couple bakadoons in.
Are
you? Toms, yeah.
Or is it like doom, ba, doom, ba, doom, doom, ba, doom, ba, boom, bakadoom, and it starts over again?
Kind of. But I can sort of throw in some like Lil fills.
Yeah. Well, maybe yeah. Maybe you should work on some beats and then you can record a little groove for me.
Well, also the Funky Cold Medina.
Oh, yeah. Don't, 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 don't,
don't, don't, don't, don't, don't, don't, don't, don't, don't, I can say pretty confidently that I could play the drums to Mandolin Rain. If I was called up on stage at a Hornsby concert or the drummer pulled a hammy, I could confidently do the bass drum and the rim shot.
But you want to sing. You'd be like doing the backups.
Boom, ka, doom, ka, boom. It's really satisfying and fun.
It is.
And I find that when I'm listening to music now, I hear the drums more than anything.
Good times. The skeleton.
So, Jeremy Taggart.
Yeah.
You're somebody who enjoys the toms a lot, right?
Sure. Love my toms.
Is that kind of a signature sound thing? How would you describe your sound?
Well, I think your sound comes from everything, not just the tuning of what you have, although some people do have a sound as well as just the way they play. But I think the way you play is more the signature than the sound. But the way you play does have... it eventually gets a sound. I think it's just kind of picking your favorites and having fun with it, and then eventually the sound will happen, you know, if you keep working on it. Your own personal thing.
I feel like maybe I don't have the discipline like you had suggested on News Talk that I pick some AC/DC songs, like You Shook Me All Night Long, for example. Mm-hmm. Boom, ka, boom, ka, boom, boom, ka.
Yeah.
Boom, ka, boom, boom, ka. There's nothing, there's no frills. Like, it's just fancy and solid.
So you're saying it might be boring?
Well, that's what you have to do, right?
Yeah, but you should feel something in that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. When you're playing drums, the point of it is to get into a groove where you actually are kind of escaping in a way, you know, where you're connecting to the time and it's almost like you leave to it, you know, like if you eat, like when you're jogging, after a few minutes when you're walking or jogging, you stop thinking.
You get the runner's high.
You just get the high, yeah. That's it.
So there's a drummer's high.
There's definitely, well, it's the same thing as any instrument. I'm sure
when you stop thinking about it and you're just in it.
Yeah, like when you're strumming guitar and you're enjoying it. That's the same thing. You're just getting away from it all, bud.
I'm surprised. I remember you saying I should have good posture, so I've been working on sitting up straight.
That's good.
But I'm surprised how much my shins hurt.
Yeah. Well, that's just takes time to build up the muscles. It'll take a while. Yeah. The worst is when you, like, start playing quicker tempos and you like fade out because you can't when your physicality can't meet the mental.
Yikes.
So you just gotta keep pushing yourself so you get all muscle memoried up, bud.
But that must happen too, like you play through blisters and stuff, like,
oh yeah,
if you have a blister on your thumb, that must really hurt.
It does. It that, and then it eventually breaks. You have to solidify your hands, right? So the worst is like a blister or a callus when it gets really tough and then the callus cracks. That's the all-time fucking worst pain.
Ow!
Because the crack goes right down to the deepest part and it's like so painful because it's so many layers of skin that are fucked.
I think I've asked you this question before, but you didn't ever cancel a show because of anything physical,
no,
did you?
Not, well, I don't think so, but not like, never blisters or anything that hurt so much.
Wow.
I used to, back in the day, if I was touring outside in the summertime, when it's like 80, 90 degrees and super humid, it's really easy to get a lot of blisters and stuff. So I would piss on my hands. And every day.
And what does that do?
It's like heals your hands. It's like an old school move to toughen up blisters and all that stuff. Piss on them. Like that was like what war people did in the trenches. If they had blisters on their feet or on their hands or whatever, they would pee on it and it would somehow,
like jellyfish styles,
quicken the healing. Yeah. I would pee on them and then wash them. I wouldn't just, like, piss on them and leave it on there.
Crazy. And that would actually help minimize blisters and stuff.
it sped up the healing. Almost like how, like, that silver water stuff, if you put it on a burn, like, the difference that the healing happens is insane. I don't know why, but it works. It's one of those things. Get yourself water, bod.
I don't think my drumming career will get to that point, but
no.
I do find it very satisfying to make noise and try to stay on beat. It's really fun.
Yeah, but
it's
now
really
you got a drum. You got a drum bot in Claddy, Mike Clattenburg. He's all about that. Why don't you guys go?
He's a great drummer.
Yeah,
Mike Clattenburg used to play in a cover band called the Spawning Grunions, and I think they were called Hope Cottage for a while.
Yeah,
and they did a lot of Police covers. So Clattenburg can deliver not only on that Stuart Copeland stuff, mm-hmm. which is not easy,
no,
but he can also deliver on tabla drums.
Ooh, nice! Like that's difficult. Yeah, my dad rocks the tablas.
Does he?
Yeah,
they sound fresh.
Oh man, that's the hardest instrument there is, and I think.
Is it?
Well, I mean, if you look at a guy like the legendary, like Ala Raka or his son Zakir Hussain, those guys are probably better than any drummer I know, just in terms of the volume of stuff that they're playing and the vocabulary that they have. In classical Indian music, when they play they have these massive, you know how like people will trade eights in blues, like eight bars? Yeah. In Indian music, they'll do like 113 bars, and then they'll repeat that three times. So like the first time, that's when you see, like when you see tabla players, they'll talk. They'll be like, they'll speak it, then they play it, and then they improvise on it. So it's like three, everything happens in threes.
So crazy, just the tabla, math, trying to track that in your brain.
Imagine that, 113, and then you start over again, like these insane, like they count, the way that they count, like they'll use like the little indexes on each finger. You know how your fingers have four spaces if you count like to the palm of your hand?
Yeah.
So they'll go through, you know, they'll count each little piece of skin on each finger, and at the end of that, you got eight, you know, it goes 16 bars. So they'll be counting their hands, like on the doing 16 bars through their fingers, the four pads on each.
I don't know if I've ever told you the story. Klattenberg is so far
ahead of the curve. Have I lost you? Is that a lose you kind of talk?
No, I'm so into it.
You're in it. Okay.
Klattenberg went to India with his girlfriend at the time. This is probably around 1990-something.
Yeah.
And when everyone else was drinking water, he was drinking Pepsi, and he got dysentery. Yikes. And he and his girlfriend broke up, and he found solace in the monkeys in the wilderness in India, bought a set of tablas, moved home, and he shot a video footage of most of his trip, and he made a documentary called India Kicked My Ass.
Nice.
And I can't even remember the name of the track, but it was a Perry Farrell track. Mm-hmm. What was his band called?
Porno for Pyros, or, oh no, when
the other one.
The popular one?
Yeah.
And for some reason now I forgot how to...
Drawn a blank.
With Dave Navarro and all those guys and Steve.
While
Perkins.
You think of it, Jane's I'll Addiction. Continue the story. Jane's Addiction, that was it. It was Jane's Addiction tune he really wanted to have in India Kick My Ass. So he wrote a letter to Perry Farrell and said, man, here's what happened. I went to India, made this documentary. You can watch it if you want. Broke up with my girlfriend, found solace in monkeys. I don't have any money, man, but I'd really like to use your song. And Perry Farrell wrote back and said, cool, man. Cool story. Go ahead.
Hmm.
Like,
that's awesome.
Mike Klattenberg is just one of those innately cool people who's so far ahead of his time.
Definitely.
And I admire the moxie he has, because he just will, like, who asks Perry Farrell for a favor?
Exactly. He's
a
bot.
And who gets it? He's a bot.
Let's take a break here on episode
TNT 101. We're on a 101 tonight. 101 so slow.
Fucking right, eh? Remember this jam?
No.
Jay-Z? Eights to the Izzo?
Oh, wow.
This was hey. The Blueprint. It's a great record.
H to the Izzo.
This was Kanye West producing. Pretty good.
Here's something that will shock you.
It's back when Kanye was killing it, staying in the studio instead of being a nutcase.
Do you know who's a good rapper?
Who?
The guy who played Trevor on Trailer Park Boys, whose real name is Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Fascinating character. And he...
He is a fascinating... Everybody used to say he was the funniest guy in the park, too.
He's really, really funny.
Yeah?
And mostly what's funny about him is that what is of interest to most people conventionally does not interest him whatsoever.
Yeah.
So he's not motivated by fame at all. He's not motivated by, you know, kudos and, you know, backslapping on a job well done.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't care about being an actor.
Yep.
Really, his joys in life are the Halifax Mooseheads, our team in the Q League out here,
mm-hmm.
and releasing cover records. So every 6 months or so, I'll get a Dropbox link to a cover record that he's made of, like, Taylor Swift covers and unlikely songs. And he plays all the instruments himself. He's a great rapper.
Wow. But does he sing, too, or is he just rap?
Oh, no, he sings.
Oh, wow.
He sings, too, yeah. And he's done albums of originals, and the songs are, like, identifiably about friends of ours.
Mm-hmm.
But he's an interesting cat. But wow. Surprisingly, a great rapper, because I don't know that looking at him, you might assume that.
Well, I don't know anything about him or him, but just the fact that when he did leave the show, it was almost like one of those, like, Kaufman-esque why he left in a way, you know, where it's like,
I know.
I'm just not feeling this. And like, why? Not feeling it.
And everyone who's on the show couldn't really relate. Yeah. And so when we were doing a special, you know, they said, you know, it would mean a lot to the fans and stuff if you would come back. Will you come back? And he's like, yeah, sure, I'll come back for $1 million. And no, he wasn't joking.
No.
And people were like, oh, that's so funny, $1 million. But he was not joking.
That's for $1 million.
Which is kind of badass.
Mm-hmm. I love that right away. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'll come back. No problem.
Yeah, no
problem.
Okay,
cool.
$1 million.
For $1 million. All right.
Yeah. Like Dr. Evil styles. Here's something. Here's the elephant in the room that we need to address.
Okay.
Carol and I just went on a lunch date to a restaurant called Bistro 22 in Truro. Chef Dennis is a bod.
Yep.
And he was saying, he just listened to episode 100, and I was saying, we're going home to do 101. We made the decision that 101 would be jams from 2001.
Yeah.
What happens when we get to 118 was Dennis's question.
Yeah. Oh, he are actually they songs asked. From,
yeah.
Wow.
Like 2017, so they're songs from this year. The nice thing about the songs is that they've always had a nostalgic kind of quality to
yeah.
it. We can't go back to 1901.
No. But we
what
could.
What do we do then, Bot?
What? We didn't. I mean, it's not like the jams always had a. I mean, from episode 1 to like 40, there was no point of like reference.
Ah, that's true.
It wasn't until the 60s when we started like getting into that, right?
To so, Mr. Tambourine Man and what have you.
Yeah, because 50s you didn't want to play. 60s you're like, whatever, salad. You're not really, you weren't game until the 80s, right? Where it's like your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So, well, we'll just probably mix it up a bit. We'll go back to the hodgepodge. And then maybe once we hit
a mixed grill, as my grandmother would call it.
Once we hit like 150, then we'll start going back to the years, the 50s and 60s.
Man, we have such big plans.
I know, there's crazy plans.
We have plans for later on. Plans for Donna, Michelle, plans for Tina and Sean.
Yeah. We're going to be having, imagine where the Bod House and the 150 Bod House. It'll be like the ultimate Canadianity 150. You think I don't know if we'll make it in this year. We won't.
Well, if we commit to churning them out, we will.
We'll have
maybe
to churn,
we'll have a
we'll 150
have Bud's house.
It'll have to be like 5 a month.
Right. Imagine a 150 Bud's house in Canada's 150.
Yeah.
Would be bananas.
We should do it at Justin Trudeau's pad. At the full
time
on.
With the launch of the book, JT3.
JT times 3 at the Canadian Styles House of Prime Minister Good Times.
House of Disrepair. I was going to say House of Ill Repute. House of Disrepair. 24 Sussex is a leaky, bucket full nightmare.
Not for long. Aren't they going to spend like $100 million to fix it up?
Are they?
Yeah. The budget apparently is like unbelievable, like $30 million or something.
I love the amount of ink devoted to analyzing the handshake
yeah.
between Trudeau and Trump in Washington.
I know, eh?
Trudeau went in close and grabbed his shoulder with his free hand, so there was no room for him to be yanked anywhere.
Yeah.
That was a power move.
Solid. It's almost like when you do the high five watching the elbow, like guaranteeing you're not going to fuck it up.
Yep. And someone said that it was a draw, but as in soccer, a draw on someone else's home field is mm-hmm. the equivalent of a win.
Well, it was pretty funny watching them talking, and whenever Trudeau would go into French, Trump's face was like, oh yeah, this guy's cool. This guy's cool.
Yeah.
You see that? He's talking French, everybody.
It's not gonna last. Other thing we talked about on News Talk that I feel like we should share with the buds is when I was away last week, I was part of a Guinness Book of World Record attempt.
Yeah.
And victory.
Oh, you did? And, you got it?
Oh, yeah, we got it.
Nice.
The reason this was of interest is because I got to spend some time with Christina, who is the ambassador from Guinness. And she was wearing a very official-looking Guinness blazer.
Mm-hmm.
And it cost quite a bit of money to have someone from Guinness come and observe your attempt. If there is no Guinness representative there, your chances are 1 in 5 of setting the record. If there is a Guinness person there, it's 3 out of 4 attempts that make it in.
Wow.
So it behooves you, if you're very serious about it, to put your shekels together and get a person from Guinness there.
So what you were trying to do, again, was the world's most selfies
In 3 minutes, which was a record set by Donnie Wahlberg of New Kids on the Block fame.
Yeah.
Which was 122.
122 in 3 minutes.
So we had to beat that. So you get 3 attempts, and then you have to stop.
Okay.
So our first one was 105. Our second one was 115. But the idea was, folks had to really work together because there were 2 criteria. One is, if anyone was visible in the background of the selfie, it was disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
And 2, if the person in the selfie was soft focus, they were disqualified.
Ooh.
So one person has to hold the camera and different people have to sidle up and pop into the thing. But they have to actually stop for half a second, because if they kept moving, they'd be out of focus and the picture would be DQ'd.
So some of the pictures were, or did they all go through? I guess I have to check.
No, that was the thing. They have to, they DQ'd an average of like 6 to 8 pictures per attempt.
Jeez.
Because so-and-so's out of focus, or you catch someone else's chin, like the person behind being a little over-earnest.
Man.
But you really have to go stand, click, stand, click, stand, click. And so you had to be really close to the person ahead of you.
And like no fucking around or laughing.
Yeah.
Serious.
So this woman, Christina, had been in Philippines. I was asking her about some of the kind of interesting award attempts that she's done.
Mm-hmm.
And she's based in Kansas City. She was a bankruptcy lawyer who was kind of bored in her job and found this ad in the paper and answered it. So she has to go all over the world. She was in Philippines on New Year's Eve for the largest gathering, 725,000 people, and for the longest fireworks display, 1.5 hours.
That's too long.
Well, I was so invested in the outcome of this record, even though in the big picture it's not that important.
Mm-hmm.
But I was asking her, like, she must have to let down a lot of people in her line of work.
Yeah.
Because most people that try don't get in, and she has to, by herself in a room full of people, say, sorry guys, you didn't make it. And she said, I just had to decide early on that if I let just everybody in, it negates the legitimate attempts of people that work really hard or try a second time or finally get in. And it Guinness loses its Guinness, which is born out of the same family that started the beer, by the way.
Yeah.
Wasn't
they just have been the sponsor from day one and that's how it worked? Or was
I think so the story goes.
See how many pints you can drink? I'll drink. And it started as like fastest chugging of beers, probably.
Well, that's what I assumed. But I think it had to do with an argument in a pub over what was the fastest bird on land.
Come on.
And so one guy was like, gross. And the other guy was like,
pheasant.
Gross. Pheasant. Gross. Pheasant! Like, go fastest. Get your goose, I'll get my pheasant, we'll cool that!
Fastest running or flying?
I think fastest running. That's bird on land.
You know it's a sandpiper!
It's a plover! It's a frew! It's a plover! It's a frew! You run Alan, I'll run a plover, and we'll see who wins!
Ah, get out of your pigeons! No, man.
So, the fru. So, that is how Guinness started. And so she made a conscious decision that she was going to have to let down people in her line of work. And that was just a part of it. But she didn't want to take the shine off people that had made attempts and actually really made it.
Wow.
So, she has no problem letting people down, which I thought was really interesting. Other thing that was interesting is she had her hair in a bun. And I was like, is that part of the thing? And she said, no, to be honest, this is just how my grandmother used to wear her hair. But it is in the rules that we have to have our hair off our face. Because you can imagine some guy saying, no, I ate another Timbit, but you couldn't see it because your bangs were in your eyes.
Goddamn imagine, bangs, lady.
Imagine the chachas she has to deal with who are like, no, I did eat that Timbit, you just didn't see it.
Yeah. It went in. It went in.
No, it was in.
Went in. Oh, man.
No, it was in.
Write it down. It went in.
Like, they're trying to say there are 4 Vanelli brothers in the band. We got one more than Hanson. We do. What about the Jackson 5? Tito wasn't, he wasn't really a Jackson. I can prove it.
I can prove it. Look at how fat he got.
The interesting thing is that, as I said, this record itself was not a big deal in the big picture, but I was so caught up in it, and everyone in the room was really caught up in it. And when we did manage to beat the record, there was like legit hugging, and people had tears, and it was great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just intense stuff. Almost intense as intense stuff. As this. Would you dance
if I asked you to dance? Enrique?
Yeah. Would you run?
Enrique Iglesias.
Would you cry? Do you think Donovan did this session?
No, I think Salvador is looking at pictures of him and Brie Ashley.
Yeah. He's got his... his Beats by Dre on the city bus.
And he barfs in his hand and knocks on the window to get the driver to stop it.
While he's listening to the jam.
All he ate was sausage from the white spot, leftover sausage off plates.
Sour chorizo. He noticed it was a bit sour.
Oh, sour chorizo sounds like an expression. Sour chorizo, I miss that girl.
He's like, he's all like excited and in love, and then he starts getting nauseous.
In his mind's eye, they're walking by the seawall in slow motion.
He's getting the wets. He's all like, I'm swallowing all fast.
They're walking past protesters at the Vancouver Aquarium.
Standing up, bashing people out of the way. Can't handle it anymore.
He takes off his tank top to put around her shoulders to keep her warm.
Oh my god.
Because that's all he
has
on.
That's all he has on. And he's just hanging off his back anyway, like off in his back of his pants.
And his pants are like 3 inches too high at the waist.
Oh,
like
too high.
Like they go above the small of his back.
Like 70s style? Like those, yeah. Like if you're in like Grand Funk Railroad, like all high up.
Yeah.
Those 501 vintage high.
They're a, but yeah, exactly. And they're a color that they don't make anymore. But they go above his lower back dimples.
And he has the, yeah, they're the orange, the little orange Levi's tag.
And he wears black bikini briefs. So when he takes his pants off to put around her shoulders to keep her warm. You can see his black bikini pants that also go too high.
He takes his pants off when she's really cold.
Just to put around her shoulders.
He's like, he's just wearing those little UFC boxer briefs.
Yeah. He invites her to keep her hands warm in his underpants.
He's so skinny. He's got like veins all over him. One of those skinnies.
Gross.
Looks like. Tour de France legs, all veins.
He has neck veins.
Here's your jam of 2001.
Turn off the light, Nelly Furtado. Yeah. Was the follow-up to Like a Bird, but it didn't chart the way Like a Bird did it?
It's the same album, I think, yeah.
But this was the, all right, let's see what you got now.
Yeah.
And it was kind of flaccid.
Isn't this one with the shooby dooby dooby and the Nelly Nelly?
Yeah, that part. Didn't she? She had some trouble staying on key, didn't she, live?
I don't know. Did she?
A little bit of trouble as a singer? I think that was the word on the street.
Nah, it's tough. Singing's tough.
Singing's a hard old
especially
go
when you got old Jarvis Church on the board there.
Yeah.
How about this one when you're... This was the original, like, Mad at Your Dad jam.
Is it Simple Plan?
It's time to fight.
Is it the back? Who is it?
Fuck you, Dad! Fuck you! Gets up and, like, pounds on him. Fuck you, Dad! That's it!
And the dad smiles with a twinkle in his eye and says, oh, are you going to challenge me, Tommy?
Oh, he's all happy. Oh, finally.
This and is it. You can step to me.
Throws the Canadian on the ground, the beer bottle.
Who is that? Is that Nickelback?
Nickelback.
They had a song before. Never made
it as a wise man. Well, this was that album. This was the second single.
I have zero recollection of that single.
Never again. The living room's gonna be a boxing ring. That's what he says.
No.
Yeah. No jokes.
What's it called? The old man? OL apostrophe?
I'm sure it's old man. Sure, definitely. It's gotta be old man.
Krogsy.
Come on, old man! All like black eyes.
The only thing I ever got from my old man was a big horn.
That's the line.
That's the first line of his autobiography.
The only thing
that's
good
how
he
I
ever
recognized
gave
him when
a
I met
17
him.
17-inch hammer.
let's take a break on TNT 101, and we're gonna play a really fun game when we come back. Aren't we, Bot?
Oh, yeah. What? Let's play a game.
Jeremy,
would you like some egg and beans? Fuck off! You're not my mom.
And we're back.
So something happened in the break. We came up with a game that we like even better.
Yes.
What's it called?
It's called Gourd.
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 It's called Gourd. Oh no, what have we done? Please say what the game is called again.
It's called Gok Gok Gok.
Oh no. What a terrible turn of events that nobody could have seen coming. The idea is
the best game.
We read a quote, and you have to guess if it's Gordon Pinsent, Gord Downey, Gordy Howe, Gordon Lightfoot, or Gord Miller.
Yeah.
Which is why the game got its name.
Which is why it's like it being in the room with five Gord. So it's Gord, 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 Gord.
Hey, Tags, who was at the party last night? It's a Canadian Screen Awards story on Entertainment Tonight Canada. Yeah. Last night, Canada. Gord, 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 Gord. It was a room full of Gords. Okay, who's going first?
Let's, I'll go first.
Okay. This is the best game ever.
Which gourd is this? My philosophy is never start talking about if and or but. Sorry. My philosophy is never start talking about if and or but or the past because 90% of what follows will be negative. Got.
It sounds like something Howe would say.
Wow. So you're going with Gordy Howe there.
Yeah.
It's Gordy Howe.
Because he's kind of that upbeat, positive guy.
Yeah. Good one.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
There's a lack of great material out there, and you sometimes end up taking things you wish you hadn't.
Is that Gordy Pinsent?
Yes!
Yeah! Nice!
Kaboom! Awesome. You know, no one's listening to the quotes. No one's listening to the answers. They're just waiting for you to make that noise again.
Yeah. Okay, you ready for the next one?
Yes.
The first time I met Danny Gallivan, I gave him a dead fish handshake and mumbled something incoherent. Got, 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 or got.
Well, I would guess how again.
No, that would be Gord Miller.
Really?
Yeah. Nice, eh?
So I take it he was nervous.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were just talking about this in the break. It's trade deadline is tomorrow.
Yeah.
And Brian Boyle has gone to the Leafs.
Brian Boyle went to the Leafs. That's
folks will know by the time this came out, but there's a lot of rumors that Jordan Eberle might be going to the Islanders. I don't think it's going to happen until the off season.
we will see on this edition of the trade deadline TNT.
Yeah, and it sounds like Yaroslav Halak might be going to the Oilers too. This Commodore.
Uh-huh.
Hashtag pack your SHIT.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually really funny, and the hashtag makes me laugh every time I see it. Like, calling guys out specifically and telling them to pack.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to be fairly accurate so far. He called the Shattenkirk to the Caps thing. While we're on the subject of the world of hockey and the trade deadline, James Duthie has a new podcast called Rubber Boots.
Oh, yeah. His famous story that appeared on the Jay and Dan pod.
Well, I actually don't know the story because I listened to the first episode, but I guess I didn't listen to the whole thing because I didn't hear the story. What's the story?
Well, I think it's just a voice that he can do. That he got some rubber boots. You wearing or somebody actually said that to him. You wearing your rubber boots today? Something like that.
Who was it? Inspector Gadget?
It's one of those stories that you forget as soon as you hear it. You just remember him saying the rubber boots line.
Right.
I think he said everywhere that he goes, he hears that once a day at least in the public. So.
Well, then it's a good name.
It is. Okay, whose turn is it here? Mine?
Mine.
Okay, you go.
I'm agile. I can play on the ass of an elephant. That's the goal. Then you can play anywhere.
Ooh.
I'm agile. I can play on the ass of an elephant. That's the goal. Then you can play anywhere.
I'm going to say that's Gordie Howe, no?
No, it's Downey.
Oh, nice.
And not he's unlike Timbo. It's the same idea as Timbo saying, their festival setup doesn't matter. They'll just get out there and rock it.
Exactly.
Versatility is an overlooked and under-present virtue. It's 100%, great.
100%, yeah. And no matter how good you are,
shake it off and get out there.
If you can still hold on to that idea of doing whatever you do anywhere, that's a plus.
Okay, I think so.
Here's mine, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The truth is, I got into this business because I skipped into this darkened theater in Winnipeg when I was running away from my girlfriend. They were rehearsing, and while I was in there, somebody offered me a small part in the play.
Huh. Well, it must be Pinsent.
Yeah, because there's no one else that's getting on a stage like that. So that would be Gord Pinsent. Damn, I should have said it was Gord Downey, as in like him, you would assume he was talking about acting. But he's not. It's a Gord Pinsent, really, and you got it. It was a bad ask.
I'm not really a bird person, but as I was around them, they interested me. I'm not really a bird person, but as I was around them, they interested me.
I got a feeling that sounds like Gord Lightfoot. No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can hear him saying it. I had to really work hard to not say it in his voice. I'm not really a bird person, but as I was around the little guys, they kind of became appealing to me.
It's like him in the backyard.
Hey, being interviewed.
That one's not bad right there.
Welcome back. It's Wayne Rostad from On the Road again. Welcome back to Bird Digest. Gordon Lightfoot didn't start his life as a bird person. But the more finches and sparrows he sees in the backyard, the more he finds time for the furry friends. Remember On the Road Again?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
I'm Wayne Rostad, and I don't take off my cowboy boots in your home.
Okay, here's mine.
Hit me.
I have no illusions of the future, or maybe it's all an illusion. I don't know. I've always been ready for it.
Aww.
I have no illusions of the future, or maybe it's all illusion. I don't know. I've always been ready for it.
You know what? Full disclosure, I have the same quote, so I know it's Downey.
Ah!
And it's recent, right? It was from the start of January.
Yeah.
That was.
That's right.
This one should be fairly evident, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Crosby Show, Canada.
Welcome to the Crosby Show. Gord Miller?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was Sid's first goal. Maybe ever in the NHL. Or maybe first time on Canadian ice. Good one, bud.
That is a good one. Okay. Okay, here we go. Will you gather daydreams or will you gather wealth? How can you find your fortune when you cannot find yourself? Gourd, 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 or gourd?
I don't know the song, but it sounds like it has the simplicity of a 1960s kind of jam. So I'm going to say Lightfoot.
Nice.
What's the song?
I don't know. It's just a quote. Is it from a song? It might be from a song.
Well, I guess unless he speaks in rhyming couplet.
He's a very, very poetic gent, and you know that.
Yeah, he is.
Sure.
Okay, how about this one?
All right.
I try to keep it light and positive most of the time, whereas early on I didn't always do that.
Hmm. Pinsent?
That's Lightfoot.
Damn it.
A gentle nod of the hat to, you know, I wasn't always the nicest person, but I'm working on it.
I'm working on it. At least I'm working on it.
I try to keep it light and positive most of the time, whereas early on I didn't always do that. Fair enough.
I always tell kids, you have two eyes and one mouth. Keep two open and one closed. You'll never learn anything if you're the one talking.
I love that quote.
It's a good one. Who's that? Gort, 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 or gort?
Huh. I didn't even know that a gourd was the originator of that quote. I love it. Never learned anything while I was talking. It's so true. One of my favorites.
It's a big one. It's up there with like the popular ones, like the Yogi Berra styles.
Oh, yeah.
I always
that sounds like a how kind of quote.
It is a how quote.
Giggity.
Are you like, you're like on it, right? I think you're, you've only, have you even missed one even?
Oh yeah. But when you think about it, the gourds are all pretty distinct, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pinsent would be stagey. How would be like, aw shucksy. Lightfoot would be kind of earnest lyrics. Downey's kind of introspective. Okay, how about this one? You're going to be so proud of me. I bought a hybrid. You have no idea how quiet they are creeping up on baby seals.
Ooh, nice.
A little environmental fake out, sense of humor styles. Who does that sound like? Gaw, 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 or hua?
I'm going to say that sounds like Downey.
Darn it.
Pinsent. Damn it. Pinsent?
No flan baby seals jokes. He's from Newfoundland. Remember the story? I'm sure I've told you before about when Kevin Spacey was shooting whatever that was over there.
Mm-hmm.
What was the movie? It was based on a book, Shipping News. And Spacey arrived with six bodyguards, right? And five of them went home on the plane because they realized it wasn't a thing. And so people were lining up behind the concrete barriers, and Spacey thought it was because they wanted to see him. And then when they let the barriers down, everybody ran right past him to go to Gordon Pinsent to explain like how they were related or how they knew each other or who knew them. And then he kept disappearing when they were ready to shoot, and they'd find him in someone's kitchen playing a game of crib. Just the nicest dude. Like, I've met him probably five times, and every time, hey, Jonathan, how are you? Like, how do you know my name, dude? Nice. Super class act, Gordon Pinsent.
Very nice.
Gordy P.
Yeah, and that's legit. I've never met Gordy P.
GPZ is dope.
GPZ?
Yeah. he is like, he's the real thing, man. Charming and gracious and kind. Well, he charmed the crown right off the queen.
He did, eh?
He was beside me when we received her madge. And he like... She was giggling like a schoolgirl and
really
positively enchanted by GPZ.
That's pretty swank.
Oh, yeah. He was like, hey, Liz, gourd. She was all in. Do you have any more?
I'm trying to find a good one here. How about...
I have a good fake out one.
Do you? Is it my turn one. Or your turn?
It's your turn. That's going to buy you some time.
You gonna buy me some time? No, I got one. I got one. Hang on.
Hit me.
This is a good one.
Hit me in the face with a...
Those who put their faith in fire their faith shall be repaid.
Well, that sounds like Lightfoot, too.
Damn it! You're just on fire with the Lightfoot. No problems with you.
There's just something so earnest about those 60s joints. Okay, listen to this one. You ready?
Yep.
I think it's a good fake out.
Okay.
You just get the vibes of your surroundings, and it rubs off on you.
It just rubs you?
You just get the vibes of your surroundings, and it rubs off on you.
That sounds like Lightfoot again.
C'est Gordon Pierre-Léger, Gordon Lightfoot.
Dude. Yeah. I like that.
Gordon Lightfoot.
Early in my career, I figured out to hit... Early in my career, I figured out how to hit notes. You know, to color them properly, to play the right chords. And I hit them pretty well, you know. But I know precisely what to do with them. I can bring them down, down, down. And I can still be true to the rendition when I do it.
Sounds like Downey.
It's Princent.
Really? Gordy Princent.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a fake out, eh?
Interesting. So read it again. He means like emotional notes.
Yes, early in my career, I figured out how to hit notes, you know, to color them properly, to play the right chords, and I hit them pretty well, you know. But I know precisely what to do with them. I can bring them down, 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 and I can still be true to the rendition when I do it.
Wow.
Not bad, Gord.
That's a good quote, and it frankly would work for any of the Gords, because I'm going to tell you something. Try watching a hockey game on mute and try doing the play-by-play. I don't think those guys get enough credit.
Yeah.
For, I mean, you don't get a second take. It's live. Your vantage point is not great, and if you miss it or blow it, people are all up in your Baba Ganoush.
They are, yeah.
Like, well, Gord Miller is phenomenal.
And Gord Miller makes it look easy, and that's why people think it's easy, because it sounds like easy, but, you know, the delivery that they're hearing.
Also, like, Gord Miller, during the World Juniors, like, doesn't he sometimes do three games in a row, and the third one is a Canada game?
Yeah.
So, like, that's when he really has to actually be on fire?
Well, yeah, but then I guess the more work is involved when you're doing the lesser known teams, and you got to do the depth of all those players. Like, it's just a lot of prep, right?
Well, yeah, especially if it's like so-and-so is playing in the KHL mm-hmm. on the Avlyanov team, and his skating coach was Guglianov.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You know that they used to drink bitters on the bench? One of those kind of lines?
Yeah. Or here's when they really earn their money, I think. And I'd be curious to ask this to Gord Miller, or maybe James Duthie will on the Rubber Boots podcast.
Yeah.
It's during, like, a coach's challenge when suddenly it's 7 minutes while they're looking at the monitor talking to Toronto.
Yeah.
Like, that is some tap dancing, too, because they don't always want to go to commercial.
No.
They don't want to miss the call.
They want to miss the calls.
Hey, James Duffy, have Gord Miller on the Rubber Boots podcast and ask him what he talks about while they're looking at the monitors.
When they're fooling around off the side there. How come all these...
I don't know. He says, I like hockey, Muffy says. Remember that story?
Yeah.
Muffy Says should be the name of my podcast if I ever had one by myself, because that's my Rubber Boots story.
It is. That's your Rubber Boots for sure. The Muffy Says.
Yep.
I like the, I don't know, out of all of these, it's interesting because they're all quality thoughts between all of these quotes.
Muffy says, five. I know, he says, Muffy says, Gords are smart, he says, every Gord I've ever met in my life, Muffy says, they're always smart, he says, I like Gords, he says, never met one I didn't like, Muffy says. I kind of dig talking for your pet. You guys don't have a pet, do you?
No, but we want to get one. My daughter's been killing for a dog.
Who's it? What is there allergies in your house?
No, we just, it's time, and organization more than anything. Because with three kids and then the dog thrown on it,
it's a lot.
We're gonna get one, definitely. We'd love to have like a little dog and a big dog.
Yeah.
Your little dog is great.
My little dog's great. Henry really likes you a lot.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, little dogs are obviously a bit more fragile and tend to get freaked out by kids more.
Yeah.
Jerry D's and his family, they just got a Morkie, which is what Henry is. And I was reminded with little kids, like, Indy loves Henry so hard.
Yeah.
That she grabs him. Yeah, she doesn't understand that she might be hugging him, like, too hard. And he's just a dog, so after a few gentle warnings, he might turn around and kind of snap at her. So they say, in theory, big dogs are better for smaller people.
Yes.
But yeah, not but too Henry, small. You can throw him in a Sobeys bag and chuck him in the overhead bin on a plane. That's why we got a dog that size.
Just like it. My daughter was singing that song again, that Ride and Dirty jam.
It's playing really
the computer
fun.
Last night.
Ride and Dirty.
She's like, gonna catch me riding dirty. Gonna catch me riding dirty.
Playing. So if you asked her, what does riding dirty mean, what would she say?
She just thinks it's like, she pictures probably like in the mud on a tricycle.
Yep.
Right?
First dirty joke everyone ever heard, bud. Two white horses fell in the mud, remember?
Yeah. And then the other one, the high all the time one, she assumes high would be happy.
Like on a Ferris wheel.
High all the time. Woo! That's when she's rocking the Roblox.
God. Tell her the name of this game. For all of us here on both sides of the mic, I'm Jonathan Torrance saying thanks for listening to this 101st episode of Taggart and Torrance.
Also, and hope you enjoyed our game of Good Lord, good gourd. Boom, gong, gang, go, ka, doo, gong, ju, bo, bow, sa, dun, doo, da, doom, bow, bow, ka, doo, da,